hitting record, and I've got Tone. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. We're Matt and Bob. We're here to pod. You're listening to the Analysis. It's President's Day weekend. I've got my George Washington Madeira here. This is what the Founding Fathers drank, Bob.
You're a Washington guy? Snooze. I'm a Hamilton guy. What the fuck do you know about Hercules Mulligan?
He was a spy on the underside.
And there goes nine listeners. Yeah,
and there goes the entirety of the listeners. Mm-hmm. So Bob, all right. So we're currently in February, or Dumpuary, as the studios would have you believe. Madam Web is another Marvel or a Sony comic book bomb.
Yeah, the Marvel people are like, it's Sony. It doesn't count. Doesn't count. It's a loss. Okay.
Super looks fantastic. Hilariously bad. I think the number one movie right now is Beekeeper, a Jason Statham movie that he's been making 20 times over. Although, I'm down, whatever. If it's fun, I mean, I'm interested. But Taste of Things, a movie out of Cannes from France that I've been dying to see forever. I finally saw that. It's beautiful. So, you know, there's some duds and there's some good stuff getting dropped.
I could have called the Argyle movie sucking.
Yeah,
where
yeah,
it's Argyle. Released given the star power, I'm like, this seems very dumptastic.
It looks and sounds horrible. Just like another reason that this dude is just not cut out for Bond at all. Henry Cavill, his haircut looks like a fucking dweeb.
I do like Sam Rockwell though. I'm sad that he's in it.
Yeah,
dub.
Our boy
he'll
Sam
do
Rockwell
some bullshit
in a dub.
Sometimes him, Viola Davis will do some bullshit. Sometimes if you're ever streaming Hunger Games, Snakes and Songbirds, if she doesn't have something to swing for the fences, she'll definitely cash her checks. That's for sure.
So yeah. What
late bullshit?
What led you to seeing the new Hunger Games?
I have a fiance.
Oh.
Dot, dot, dot.
Okay. Yeah, dot. Okay,
but she also hated it. So, you know, even somebody, I actually read the original Hunger Games books and things like that. But yeah, just
so did I. I loved them. I loved the books.
Keep moving.
That was like
there's nothing in there for you.
That was like over 10 years ago, and the movies were fine. We don't need another one. It's like it's enough already. It's like who's it? Jordan Harris that was like surprised that Wonka was bad. Like
no, that was Vic Kuligowski.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
So surprising.
Man, I'm so surprised it was bad.
Fired up for, yeah, Jordan Harris is putting his foot through his radio right
yeah.
now. Did you put that evil on me?
I don't know. Imagine being fired up for like 20 years later, another Hunger Games movie. But, you know.
But it's also like, it's sometimes when these movies come out and they miss, but it's like, it's not even notable that they missed. Do you know what I mean?
Cares?
It's like
right.
That movie that, I mean, they had to, the production, it's not like a nothing movie. You know, there's stars in it. There's a production value. They marketed it and then it just comes out and they didn't realize that there's no appetite at all anymore for Hunger Games. And people just did not pay attention at all. Even
just
in a bad
like
way.
A turtle taking a shit.
Exactly.
The thing with like movies, like I think they're finding their audience. I don't know if these movies are making or are losing money, if their budgets are too high, if they're over projecting, but it's like, you know, when the new season of The Bachelor comes out, nobody cares if it sucks. People keep watching it. Like the numbers are solid. It doesn't approach Taylor Swift level hype, but they keep making them because they must be making money. There's a disconnect with movies for some reason where people over anticipate the appetite. Or unless there's like some silent minority that is just waiting for them to come on TV and nobody gives a shit about movies. So like if you're going to make this Madam Web trash, it's not going to make the people that are hyped for it are not hyped to leave their house to see it.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, if there was a movie Bachelor, unless it starred Tim Robinson, like no one's leaving their couch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's just a disconnect between like
Ronnie
Zipline. This movie, Ronnie Zipline. That's the movie I want to see.
But are you sure?
Let's get to some shit that actually was worth our time.
In this,
you know, Dumpuary is one thing for new films, but it's a good opportunity to like Oscar nominees just dropped. We had the big reaction of snubs, surprises. Oh my God, Barbie didn't get recognized enough, even though it made $2 billion. But now is the season where people catch up on stuff they've missed out on, right? The FOMO or what? Oppenheimer's streaming on Peacock. You can catch up on a bunch of this stuff. So you've been catching up on some stuff, and
yeah,
let's just freewheel it, man. Like whatever you want to start with, I'll follow your lead.
Yeah, so I've got three here. One was an in the theater experience. The other two were a watch from home experience. So I have Poor Things, which was in the theater. I have American Fiction, which mm-hmm. was a stream at home, okay. as well as Anatomy of a Fall, which was a stream at home. So let's start with the biggest ticket of those three, which I would say is Poor Things. With yeah. Emma Stone.
Probably running third overall in terms of the top 10, in terms of like the gold derby percentages. You got Oppenheimer, Killers is in there. And I think Poor Things and Killers are kind of battling for the number two slot.
I think Killers is going to take a bath. I think it's going to get wiped. But yeah, we'll cross that bridge in a different conversation.
In terms of like its chances, I think both are running for a distant second regardless. I forgot Holdovers. I think Holdovers is in there. So you got Oppenheimer, Holdovers, Poor Things, top three. Killers down to four or five. Anatomy is climbing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all right. We'll start with the movie that probably has the best shot at awards, I guess, or prestige recognition that we haven't mentioned. So yeah, what do you think about the wacky Poor Things?
Yeah, I want to quote somebody who is a friend of the pod, and I think has some pretty solid takes from time to time, Jordan Harris, who had said, Poor Things.
I was going to say Brandon Jones.
No, not at all. Worse takes. Andrew Popo, worser takes. But the what Jordan Harris had said was, Poor Things, ... I almost feel like the director of Poor Things saw all of the unnecessary nudity in Oppenheimer and said, hold my beer. And so Yorgos Lanthimos looked at Chris Nolan and was like, all the Florence nude scenes, we can outdo that, don't you think, Emma? But
Some solid Emma Stone full frontal nudity for sure.
Yeah. I figured you would be really into that. Andrew Dice Clay quotes coming to mind. But I felt a lot of things in the theater seeing this. It was a relatively empty theater because it had been out for a very long time before mm-hmm. I was able to catch it. But I felt I appreciated and admired its uniqueness.
Yeah.
I think there was times where I felt uncomfortable, a little awkward, a little watched through your fingers. But overall, I really thought it was a measured performance, especially Emma Stone, because she is, as the film goes along, gaining more and more adult and woman behaviors. And so it's kind of a really cool journey and watching her develop and take in this world. I thought that seeing the world through the eyes of what this person would be seeing and kind of the fantastical production design of it was really cool.
Yeah.
I really thought that the score was pretty fascinating. It's this weird, it's like Yorgos Lanthimos meets Tim Burton.
Right. Yeah.
It gave me like Edward Scissorhands vibes mm-hmm. in a way, but it was a really unique experience.
It's like Edward Scissorhands meets like Fury Road, like that orange,
yeah,
kind of like end of days brights, especially when in the cruise ship segment where she's shown the real world and it's mm-hmm. horrific.
Yeah. It's almost all shot in studio. The whole movie has to be just on one big green
exactly
screen.
Which was cool because it's you can rail against green screen, but it's not as bad as like CGI to me, because it reminds me of like the old Hollywood studio system where, like, you know, Singing in the Rain is a bad example or a bad comp, but like a studio picture where everything was on a soundstage, but it looks gorgeous And, you know, they didn't go to Portugal, but it's like a reimagining of Portugal and like a more fantastical, creative, you know, because if you paint yourself into a box or we have this soundstage, we gotta dress it up. I think creativity is born from that as opposed to, you know, just having a really great location director or you know what I mean? But I think, well, like you said, you have to admire the direction, the creativity, art direction, the performances of Emma Stone, obviously at the top. And then, man, I mean, how do you feel? Our boy, William Dafoe, did he earn the William Dafoe Award?
Oh, he definitely. I still think my giving him the William Dafoe Award for the movie Inside, where he's smearing poop on walls, slightly beats out the Frankenstein guy.
I would almost give Mark Ruffalo the William Dafoe movie up against William Dafoe.
He was
really
going for it. He was awesome, and it's almost like it reminded me a little bit of What About Bob, where Bob got more and more sane, the Leo Marvin character got more and more insane, and like really she leaves this like trail of broken idiots behind her, these like loser guys that are just obsessed with her. And by the end of it, Mark Ruffalo's like in an insane asylum,
yes,
just eating his own poo. He's like lost his fucking mind. It's awesome.
Because he was like this debonair bon vivant, you know, the greatest fuck in history, and then this woman who just like bounces on his cock a few times and it's like, I'm done with you, I'm gonna go become a whore in this brothel. Just
unravels him.
You stole my money. I know you're having sex with men from. Pulls his hair. Just like going to an 11. It was so funny. It was my favorite part of the movie. And, you know, obviously props to Emma Stone, Lanthimos, everything we've mentioned. But my most enjoyable aspect was just watching Ruffalo shake off the shackles of Hulk for the past 10 years and have some fucking fun, you know?
Yeah. But I really, it's obviously. This is something that Brecken said on our way home that I want to give her credit for, but she was reflecting and saying, it's really cool, like Poor Things and Barbie and Naiad. Obviously, we were very fired up about Naiad. She's like, there's these like really powerful female characters that are being recognized this year. And at the core of it, despite all of the absurdity with everything we're mentioning, you know, you really engage with it emotionally. And I do think it's this woman who doesn't have shame, which is cool, and she's getting a second chance at life, and she hasn't been, you know, molded to a perception of the world, and she's really defining it as her own. And I could see why Emma Stone would be really drawn to this character, because it is pretty interesting and nuanced when you start to think about how she's going through the character is going through the movie.
No, for sure. And there's some lame takes about, like, how do you feel about putting a baby's brain into a sex addict's body? This is a child having sex. And all right, whatever. Okay. But, like, it's the evolution of whatever. It's you can't take these things literally. It's fantasy. Yeah. Come on. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, like, the evolution of, you know, the spirit of an independent woman who's not shackled by society norms. I thought it was really cool, and they found a lot of avenues for humor. And it's wacky and a little off the walls, and a lot of fisheye for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, he loves the fisheye.
Yeah.
But no way does it villainize her for having an adventurous sex life. Like you're going through it, and it's raising. It's almost like showing the male's example to her own sexuality and how they can't handle it. And, you know, the comment is on them, not on her, which I think is strong storytelling.
They can't handle like the woman discovering herself, because it's supposed to be them, you know, showing women how to have sex. And you know, it's a very kept women sort of like, you'll stay here until I'm ready for you sort of thing. And so the fact that she's like, nope, I'm taking your money. I'm going here. I'm going to get off the boat now. I'm going to do this. We need money. I'm going to go whore myself out. I'm learning more about human nature and myself. And
but also, like, you know, philosophy, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, him throwing the book into the ocean. And that's a really big moment. And that's saying a lot.
I think what's going to be interesting is, so not to, you know, to tease our Oscar picks a little bit here, but I'm locked in on Lily Gladstone, but Emma Stone is clearly up there as a front runner as well. You'll probably go with her, you think?
We'll see. We'll see. There's going to be some strategery here.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I mean, I think she's gaining momentum very similarly to how Olivia Colman did, same director.
Definitely.
Kind of coming on here. But yeah, I think it's
coming on strong.
Overall, I did enjoy it. There were, I think the hang in the French brothel went a little long for my takes. Yeah. I think at a certain point I was like, I can really be done with like this. It's also those just scenes.
I could have done with like, two less dudes maybe.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a tough hang. And it was kind of pushing me to a boundary. And I think it's the whole sex worker thing. I guess it makes me uncomfortable in a way. And, but it was like, yeah, I didn't really enjoy that hang for as long as it went on.
It was a good chunk of the movie. I really liked Portugal. I was really into the, like we've already mentioned, the Mark Ruffalo scenes. Mm-hmm. I was really into, obviously, like Portugal when we're on the cruise, and then when he's bankrupt and we're in Paris, and then we get into the brothel stuff. I think at any moment that didn't have Mark Ruffalo, I started to like miss him. You know what I mean? Because the energy from him
when she gets back, taken back by her jerky ex husband, like that's kind of a very weird hang towards Act Three.
Yeah, I mean, I think that guy did a great job, and it was just the energy was kind of like the last hour was kind of fading, where I think it hit its peak. Hey, and not to bag on this guy, but Jared Carmichael, I think was easily the worst part.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty
so wooden and weirdly miscast.
Yeah, it was his delivery too. Was very, it felt very performative. And I know it's a very performative movie, so I hope I'm articulating myself well here, but it took me out of the moment. Like it didn't, even with the surreal nature of the story and of the performances, his seemed like he wasn't actually in the same scenes as people.
Yeah, for sure. It was like in a totally different movie.
Yeah.
But I was interested to hear what you thought about this, just because obviously the hype has been building, and usually when people come to a movie like this late at post awards and this is like top three movie of the year talk, and you're like
I'm kinda... kind of like I enjoyed it. It's a good movie. I'm not by any means, I think there was a lot of value in it, and at the end of it led to some discussion, and obviously I like that type of stuff. I think it had a great performance. I think it had great performances in it. So there's overall, but I'm not like fired up.
I think me and you had the same reaction where kind of a feast for the senses or whatever, you know, very visually stunning and creative, something different. Obviously, you know, Yorgos Lanthimos, if anyone has seen his movies, you know, The Lobster, The Favorite, which is probably my favorite. Killing of a Sacred Deer, I don't think I've actually seen.
Oh, you haven't? It's hardcore. No. That's the most hardcore of all of these. So that's definitely a watch through your fingers type of movie. And that's got Barry Keoghan in it, too. A younger Barry Keoghan. But
his Willem Dafoe breakout.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. So overall, worth a hang. And I appreciate its uniqueness. We'll likely never watch it again.
But, yeah, right? I can't see... I can't see coming back to this one, although I think I may have already seen a lot of the nominees once or twice already.
There's some tough, like the surgery scenes. It had a lot of stuff that makes me uncomfortable, just naturally. cutting in bodies. Anytime I watch like a scalpel digging into a cadaver, even though I know it's fake, it weirds me out. Chopping the brains.
Yep.
Then you've got brothel work, and there was a lot of seat squirming for me. I don't know if that makes me sound like a bitch or not, but
But that's okay. But like, you know, like the black and white ooze of brains in jars is always kind of upsetting, right? Whereas Young Frankenstein did that to such hilarious send up. Abby someone.
Did you feel bad for the goat at the end?
I did. And actually, I was surprised that they put a goat brain into his head. Or sorry.
They put a goat brain into his body. They replaced him with a goat brain.
See, I thought they were going to put a goat brain into his body or
no, that's what they did. You thought they were going to put his brain into a goat body and then
Sorry. I thought they were going to put his brain into a goat body. So like he would be conscious of the fact that he's in a goat body, but obviously it would be more of a punishment than simply having like a guy that wants to eat grass. So like the goat isn't aware that anything's really different.
Yeah.
Whereas a human brain in a goat body, I thought would be
more of a punishment. I agree.
Yeah. Like, oh shit, I'm stuck in the cell of this goat body.
So I guess you shouldn't feel bad for the goat because the goat doesn't know any better.
Yeah, the goat's having a great time. Now. Yeah, he's got some new teeth. He's got a cock to stroke.
Yeah, he's going to find his own sexuality. He's going to milk himself.
Yeah, I want to say, so do you think they're setting up a sequel? Now we follow the goat's journey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the goat's in Portugal.
just having sex with Brandon Jones.
And Terry Sipes. But anyway, yeah, Poor Things. Check it out.
That's gay. Poor Things, check it out. We're going to be hearing a shitload about it for the next month or so if you haven't already.